Touch Interviews, a presentation of Body Mind Spirit Radio. Thank you for joining us for conversations designed to keep you in touch. And now, the host of In Touch Interviews, Annette Aven.
Your wonderful introduction, as always. Welcome, everyone. It's the 15th day of May, 2013, 1 p.m. Eastern, live here at Body Mind Spirit Radio. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, you want to find out what our offerings are, learn about our hosts, check our schedule, listen to our archives, very important feature at Body Mind Spirit Radio. You know, we're technically not like your regular broadcast over-the-air stations, where no matter what time of the day you turn it on, they've got some sort of programming that hits you as soon as you get there, but it's only the programming that is in that moment. Broadcast radio really does live in the moment. Body, Mind, Spirit Radio allows moments to live for you. And by that, I mean we not only do some of our live programming, of which this particular show today, In Touch with Ekinkar, is live on the 15th day of May. And I say that again and repeat it frequently because 3 minutes after the show is over, we're going to go into archives. The important part about our archives, from my vantage point, is that they are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if at 2:07 on any given day, morning, noon, or night, you need to listen to a program, we got it for you. Even if we're not doing a live program at 2:07 in the morning or that afternoon. If at 8 o'clock in an evening, let's say we've just finished a show, but you've got a hankering or an itch to hear a different type of program, hit those archives. There are literally hundreds of them. Two ways to maneuver through the archives, and I'll set you up real quick here. The first way is to go to BodyMindSpiritRadio.com. You sign up, you become a member. It doesn't cost anything. It's a very quick process. Please become one of our members. You know, we grow because people care enough to allow us into their network of friends. So you join us, hook up with us. On the toolbar, it'll say Archived Episodes. You can click there, and it will go by the order of the most recent program, which is great. This one will be the most recent program once we are through. Or you can go on the toolbar to where it says Shows. And when you scroll down, each of our different hosts will appear, either an image that they've selected to represent them or a photo. I happen to have a photo. And you can click on My Group. And once you are there, there will be a link that says click here for all episodes. That will give you the archives of just my programs. And I've got the most programs there. So you definitely, if you're searching for something I've done in regards to hosting a show, you don't want to have to go through all the other shows to find it. Go to my show. Again, the most recent show will appear at the top archive, and it goes from there. But those are the two ways to navigate our site for BodyMindSpiritRadio.com to get a hold of our archives. And we do really, really hope that you pay attention to those for many reasons, not only to give you the opportunity to hear that information again or to share it with your friends, because once you get into the archives, you can actually email that to somebody. You can list the RSS feed and move it someplace. It's a free download to iTunes, so you can carry it around with you and listen to it again. And we've got a lot of great people that we've brought on to our programs, all of us, that would be worth doing that. It's also really cool because the people that take the time to do the shows, as we'll be talking with Mike Sebastian here for the next few minutes in just a moment, you know, he put a lot of time and effort and energy into coming here and share his message. And we want to reach as many people as possible. That's why the archives are available. That's why we promote the archives as much as we do, because this isn't just the one-time shot. And if people are tuning in, let's say, in 10 minutes, and they've missed the beginning of it, or their friends heard it, they didn't get to hear it, they're saying, man, you should have heard what was being said. This is really great. You have a way of doing that. So there you are. Happy and happy and happy. Also, too, be sure to check out upcoming episodes at BodyMindSpiritRadio.com so that you can catch the next show. And believe me, we got shows, they just keep coming. So you definitely want to stay in touch with us. As I said a little bit ago here live on the 15th day of May of 2013, we are in touch with Ekinkar. Now, you might not know what that word means. We're going to explain it to you. You might not understand what it's all about. All that's going to be explained. But one of the things that I picked up from their website, which we will give you the Michigan website because we are speaking specifically with Mike Sebastian from Royal Oak, Michigan, is that it said divine spirit will touch you in some way, some unexpected way, and that is exactly what Mike's here to talk about today, the unexpected way spirit's going to touch us. You know, the wonder or the question that most people have in their mind is, what's the purpose of Ekinkara? What's it here to do for us? What kind of energy is it going to bring, and what do we give in return? Because there's always a give and take, but it might not be exactly what you think. So I'm going to welcome to the program Mike Sebastian, who is the organizer of Ekinkara here in the state of Michigan, where I happen to be also. Mike, welcome to the program, and thank you for joining me today.
Hey, thanks, Annette. Thanks for having me on. I'm glad to be here and talk about Ekinkara just a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Thrilled. And I am going to toss out that email. I'm looking at the email, but I'm thinking website right now because I want people to remember it, and we posted it in the chat room. We'll repeat it throughout the show. It is www.ek-mi.org, which translates into ekmi.org, which, you know, okay, so it's Ekinkara of Michigan, but if we don't give you the specific spelling, chances are you're going to jump around to find it. We want you to be able to get right there. It's a beautiful website, lots of great information, so we'll repeat it throughout the rest of the show. So we talk about, you know, an organizer. What does that mean that you are an organizer? Is that even the proper term to use?
I am the go-to person is the way to see it. In other words, anyone who's seeking information on Ekinkara in the state of Michigan, and Ekinkara's worldwide, it's in every state, but in Michigan they get a hold of me or my wife. We're both longtime Ekis, so I'm the go-to person. That's the way to see it.
Okay, fantastic. And the center or the location that you would be associated with specifically, and there may be other Ekinkara centers throughout Michigan, I'm not too sure about that, but I know you're based in Royal Oak, Michigan, correct?
Correct. That's the main center, Royal Oak, Michigan. It's at 320 East 4th Street, Royal Oak, Michigan. And you can swing by there, or you can call. You can leave a message. Somebody will get back with you, or you can even go to the website, which you just gave.
Okay. And what is the number that they would call then to reach you at the center, Mike?
Yeah, the center, they could, if they're local, they could do 248-546-9224. Or they can do a toll-free 866-546-9224.
Okay. And we'll repeat that throughout the hour as well, because I know that there are sometimes people that they start listening and then they have to jump out, and if they come back, we might not be mentioning it right at that time, or we may have just mentioned it again and they didn't hear it. So there you go. Royal Oak, Michigan, Ekinkara, location 866-546-9224. And if you are local and you would like to call locally, then just change that area code out to 248, which anybody in the Michigan area or with family in this area knows that that's going to take you to the Oakland County area. So we are thrilled to pieces to know that we can go someplace locally, and we're going to tell you why this is going to be such an interesting and hopefully positively life-changing. And I say hopefully positively because it will change your life. And if you're getting the change that you will experience through Ekinkara and the energies there within, you will find it to be positive. I can't even imagine why it wouldn't, but I'm going to turn it back over to the gentleman who is the go-to person, because that's why he's here and I'm on the other end of this interview. So, Mike, give us some energy and information about the mission or goal of Ekinkara, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, let me give you a little bit of background. And it's interesting you were mentioning change in your life, and I often think of that because more than a few times in my life I've actually found change on the sidewalk. Who hasn't? But sometimes I'll find like a nickel, dime, quarter, maybe a few dollars in change just laying there that was dropped from who knows where. And it reminded me that there's change getting ready to come into my life. It's a sign or a synchronicity or a coincidence, whatever you want to call it, serendipity. But we kind of use some of those tools in Ekinkara. That's why I mention it. And really the goal of Ekinkara, to summarize it, is to make God an everyday reality in our life. In other words, Ekinkara believes that as soul, we already have the God knowledge within us. And Ekinkara teaches us through some of the tools that it uses how to access that knowledge with the with the goal of expanding our consciousness, because life really, I have found, is a consciousness game. In other words, how conscious am I on a daily basis? How aware am I? In other words, you know, everyone says, oh yeah, God's everywhere. God is everywhere. Well, yes and no. That's not necessarily true. God may be everywhere, but if I'm not aware of it, if I'm not conscious of it, then it's not there for me. And Eckhart Tolle really teaches us to be in the moment, to be present, and to be conscious of divine spirit, of God, if you would. So that's one of the major goals. And Eckhart Tolle itself, the word Eckhart Tolle means co-worker with God. In other words, one of the goals for Eckhart Tolle and Eckhists, which is what people, members in Eckhart Tolle, are called, is to become a co-worker. In other words, to be of service to all life. It reminds me of that movie. I don't know whether you ever saw it or not. It starred Nick Nolte. It was called The Quiet Warrior, or The Peaceful, that's it, The Peaceful Warrior.
And
he plays a master, and it's a true story. It's based on a guy, young kid, in San Jose State, some California university, who was getting ready for the Olympics. He was competing, had been for years, and he went through some trials and tribulations in his life, shattered his leg into 80 parts or something, but nonetheless came back and still competed in the Olympics. And it was a modern-day miracle, and his story was, he said he had studied with a master who appeared to him and gave him a lot of spiritual principles necessary to turn that adversity into an advantage in his life. And at one point, Nolte says, the highest purpose, because the kid asked him, why are you working in a gas station if you're a master? And he looks at him and says, this is a service station. It's the highest purpose on the planet, giving service. And that's one of the goals of Eckhart Tolle, is to really give service to all life, to all creatures, to, you know, humans as well as animals, in any way that we can on a daily basis, to be aware of other people's needs and to be loving, open, compassionate, and to be of service on a daily basis. That kind of gives you a little bit of an overview of Eckhart Tolle, and it's called the, if you look it up or pull it up on the web, it says Religion of the Light and Sound of God. And what that means is that Eckhart Tolle believes that Holy Spirit or God is experienced through light and sound. Light in the sense that everything is light. You know, let there be light, and there was light. And that we experience it if we close our eyes and look between our eyebrows, or the third eye, as some people call it. You can see a blue light, a yellow light, a white light, and that's a manifestation of Holy Spirit. It's how it manifests here to us. And the other manifestation is the sound. And the sound is that original, you know, if you open the Bible to Genesis, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, Word was God. Well, that Word was a sound or a vibration. And we can experience that inwardly if we sit quietly, clear our mind, and we will hear a hum or a high-pitched sound in our ear many times. Sometimes it'll appear inwardly as the sound of thunder, and there's, you know, it's a clear day, but inwardly we'll hear that sound. And Eckhart Tolle teaches that spirit manifests to us through the light and the sound. And if we come in contact with it through spiritual exercises on a daily basis, that it expands our consciousness and ultimately brings us to a higher state of consciousness or love, if you really want to summarize it, because love's the name of the game, how to become more loving and expand into a state of love. And that's some of the tools that that Eckhart Tolle uses.
I like that. I like that thought process, Mike. And I'll tell you what kept coming to mind as you were talking about being in service and that being the highest form and the energy to which I really think all of us are seeking to aspire, even though we're not necessarily cognizant of it. And it reminded me of the life of Mother Teresa. And I thought,
right.
Oh, people will look at a myriad of different followings, teachings, religions, whatever word they use to describe it, whether it's a word that I attach to, let's say, Ekankar or Christianity or Judaism or Islam or whichever, or it is used by the people who are members to describe it, it doesn't seem to me to be such a far difference from one to the other that is the goal or that is the charge or that is the directive. How it's achieved, I think, is the difference. But I really believe that this concept of service is massive because it is, to me, without being a member of Ekankar, just for me, it makes sense. It only makes sense. How can I help you? How can I help you? How can I help you? Which has a boomerang effect because it literally comes back and helps me.
Right.
But that's not necessarily the reason I do it. I do it because I can. And my motivation may come from a different motivation than somebody else's. But I really think that this idea of service or this concept of service is the foundation of every great structure that is holding up the banner of love.
Absolutely. I would agree with you. I think that theme runs through every major world religion, whether it's Buddhism or Christianity or Islam or Judaism or whatever it is, Ekankar, it has that, it really has that theme. If you look at their sacred books, they're very, very similar in many cases. And the differences are the outward appearance, the garb. Maybe somebody puts a prayer rug down and faces east to pray five times a day, and somebody else goes to a mosque or a church or, you know, it looks different, but really the goal is the same, and they're heading in the same direction. And part of that direction of getting there, which is what Ekankar teaches, it says, okay, if you really want to get there quickly, you know, and where is there? Well, let's call it back home to God. If you want to go back home, the way to get there quickly is to give service, because when we give service, we get service. In other words, I think it's a law in this universe that I found it to be true. It's absolutely impossible to really give something away. When I open my heart and give whatever it is I've got or what I can give to that person in need, it comes back. I mean, I can even see it come back. That's not why I give it, but I can see it come back almost immediately, and it comes back tenfold. The gifts come rolling in. So when I give service, I get service. When I, you know, I've had many people ask me, God, I just feel like my life is loveless. There's just no love. How do I get love? Maybe it's a relationship they're looking for, or maybe it's some kind of compassion or kindness they're seeking. You know, and I tell them, if you give love, you'll get love. Just go out there. And they go, wow, I'm not in the mood to give love. I want love. And that's the catch-22. We got to get up and go out and give love, even if it's just a smile, or holding the door for someone, or listening to someone's story, for whatever reason. A few years back, I was leaving in the morning, living in L.A. Nicole and I are living in L.A. and I was heading down across town, which takes hours in L.A. to go a few miles, but. You know, I had just kind of done my little contemplations in my head, and you know, said to Holy Spirit, you know, I'm ready to be of service today. I'm ready to be a little Jedi Knight to go out there and give love. And just as I said that, I look over and there's a lady sitting on a bench right on the street waiting for a bus, elderly lady waiting for a bus by herself, and she's sobbing, she's crying. You know, and so Spirit says, there, go do what you need to do. And I look over, and number one, I'm late for work. Number two, it's a meeting where I'm giving a presentation. It's L.A. I'm going to be late anyway. Number three, there's never any place to pull in. It's at a bus stop, and there's three LAPD officers actually parked there chit-chatting. And I thought, oh, hell. And I pulled over. What I did was I went, okay, I can do this. And I pulled over right up to the bus stop, right next to the cop cars, and all three of them stop talking and look at me like, you are crazy, right? You're not parking here even for a second. And I got out, and I looked at all three of them in the eye, and I kind of nodded, like acknowledging their presence. And then I went over to talk to the lady. And they went back to drinking their coffee. They let it ride. And so I sat down and listened to her story for 5 minutes, and finally she stopped crying and thanked me. And I could tell she had finished what she needed to say, and it was already feeling better. So then I got up, and I shared a Hue technique with her, which is kind of like a spiritual exercise, and I left. But I could tell that in that moment of service, even Spirit had my back. Spirit covered the spread. The cops didn't bother me. The bus didn't come along and hit my car. Everything was covered while I gave service, and then I went my way for the day. But the feeling that comes from that is really indescribable. I mean, it's something that you realize is connected to divine love whenever we give service. So there is not a higher purpose on the planet, I think, you know?
No, I agree. And what I loved, so many aspects of the story was, if you had been rushing and rushing and rushing to get that meeting, even though you were giving a presentation, which meant you were in service to the people that were going to be presented to, and you were there because your employer needed you to do that, which meant you were in service to your employer, that was also, in many ways, a very self-serving thing, because you didn't want to disappoint these people, and that would have made you feel more comfortable walking in at a time where you could legitimately say and not have to lie, I was caught in the LA freeway traffic. But
right.
At the same time, the actual real need for you at that moment was with that woman. So as you said, Spirit just moved all the mountains, and you didn't even, you may have recognized the mountains, but you didn't allow them to impede your mission. And like you said, it took a lot quicker than maybe other people listening to the setup of the story, or the talk of it. They probably thought, oh my God, how long is he going to have to be there? Is he going to have to give this lady a ride? Is she going to need to come, blah, 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 blah. And I agree with you. Most people just want to know that they've been heard. They don't need you to solve
yes.
their problem. They don't need you to do this or this or this. They just need to know that somebody cared enough to let them witness or tell their story or unburden. And she may never have seen you again. She may never have known, you know, any other thing about whatever else. But you took that moment, and like you said, the police didn't, you know, give me a rash of grief, and nobody hit my car, and you still
yes.
got back in your car and continued on your journey. What? But you did something there, and I wanted to go back and touch on a point you made a little bit ago where you said people will say to you, hey, I'm seeking love, man. And you say, well, give love, you get love. Now I want to devil's advocate that for a moment, because I think it's important for people to realize how it connected with what you just said, in my mind anyway. When people say to me, because I hear all the time myself, gosh, now when is that great relationship going to come into my life? Or when is the person I'm with going to start doing things the way I want them to? And I want to say something about that. That is not love, my friends. That is fear. And that's an entirely different polar opposite of love. So when that's what you're looking for, so you say, okay, I want this love. I'm going to go out and do all these really good deeds, and then that person I want is going to come to me and tell me that they love me, and we're going to be happy. That ain't how it works, and that's not what happens. So quit trying to give the universe, you know, the way you see it should be. What you just heard Mike describe is exactly the way it goes. You give selflessly, it comes back, but it doesn't always come back the way we think it's going to come back. It comes back what works for us at the time we need it. Would you think that is valid?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the beautiful part of what you're talking about is it comes back, and a lot of times it comes back in a form I'm not even expecting. But you know what? It's always a form that's better. It's always, the spirit always brings it back in a form that's better and leads to a better place, even if I don't recognize it at the time. It's always something that's leading me to a higher spot in my life, to a better spot in my life. It may temporarily mean taking another road that may not look like a great road. Maybe it looks like a detour, but actually that detour really leads to a higher spot, a higher state of consciousness, something better, a new friend, a new place, a new adventure. And being open in our hearts to just giving without expectation, just because of the joy of it, if for no other reason. When we give something, I think everyone would agree to that little something, it doesn't matter what it is, and when we can give, it feels good. It feels a lot better than receiving. I mean, you know, it's blessed to receive, but it's more blessed to give, and it's a balance between the certainly a balance between the two. But you just never know. I kind of remember an interesting story after I'd gotten into Eckankar a few years. I've been in Eckankar maybe 21 plus years, and one of the tools that Eckankar uses as a teaching tool was dreams, to study our dreams, pay attention to them, jot them down in the morning so we remember them. You'll notice that when you get up and you go, wow, that's a cool dream, and then you don't write it down. maybe 5 or 10 minutes passes, the day starts rolling on, and we forget that dream. 95% of the time, the dream is smoke within a matter of 15, 20, 30 minutes. We can't even remember the details anymore. And one night I had a real clear dream, and it was after stepping on the path of Eckankar, and I was starting to pay attention to my dreams, and I had a real clear dream of a girl. And at the time I wasn't married, and her name was Nicole in the dream. I didn't know any Nicoles, and she was a stranger, pure stranger in the dream. And we were in chemistry class together in college, and in the dream, she was a personal trainer also, just becoming a personal trainer, had just become a personal trainer. And I woke up from the dream, and I actually had the wherewithal to write it down, which was really good in retrospect, because I wrote the dream down. It was very clear with all the details and her name. 5 years passed. Flash forward, 5 years later, I'm teaching at the University of Texas, And I'm a sociologist, and I was teaching sociology in my class, and who walks into my class and sits down? None other than the dream girl, Nicole. However, in my defense, I would say, wow, I should have recognized the dream girl. Well, 5 years had passed, and that dream had long since gone away. Class ended, went on. A few months went by. We ended up going to lunch and then supper. We were married, engaged in a matter of months, and married within 9 months. And we've been married ever since. And we've been married 17 or 18 years now. And after I was married for a couple of years, Nicole, same name, the dream girl, started studying to take her exams to become a personal trainer. And I had that deja vu feeling. You ever get those deja vu? I went, wow, this feels really familiar. Nicole and a personal trainer. And I went back to check my dream journals. I'm looking through them one weekend, and I actually found the dream of her, meeting her, and she becomes a personal trainer. And that's when I realized that the tool, the teaching tool of dreams that Eckankar uses, is invaluable. It was giving me a snapshot 5 years down the way where my life would go and how dramatically it would change, and I would meet the girl of my dreams. And it was literally through a dream. And I realized how important at that point that dreams can be for getting a snapshot of our future, as well as showing us answers to a lot of the daily problems that we face every day. So that was kind of validation for some of the dream studies and things that I've learned in Eckankar, because Eckankar, there's a study period in Akinkar, 17 years of different types of study, soul travel and reincarnation, but dreams, for 2 years we studied dreams, how to remember them, how to interpret them, how to track dreams, things like that.
I like that. I think that was pretty cool. Having known that your wife's name is Nicole when you started the dream, I'm like, oh, he's going to tell us how he met Nicole. This is really crazy. I love it. And what I love about it is there are these moments in our life that, like you said, you're standing there and all at once you get this feeling of, this is so familiar. We call it deja vu. We call it, you know, whatever, past lives or past moments. But the idea that with Akinkar, we can be trained, so to speak, with our own choosing, schooled, as to how to make this so important in our lives that it becomes the tool of recognition and a form of cognition, because when you are paying attention, you get it. It would seem to me then that that is one of the most basic benefits of being an Akist, is living in the moment and experiencing it for all of the beauty it can give you, whether you understand why that moment's happening in your life or not. Boy, would that take a load of stress off somebody.
Yes, and that is one of the big benefits, you know. And I would say that if someone said, "Wow, what's one of the biggest benefits that you've gotten out of Akinkar?" And it would have to be every day, based on what I've learned while in Akinkar in the 21 years, is the wisdom that I've got. It's unparalleled. I've never had anything, and I've studied. I grew up studying with the Jesuits. Went to a high school taught for 4 years by the Jesuits and the nuns. Studied with the Buddhists. Studied with the Sikhs. I've traveled everywhere on this planet looking for truth. Looking for, okay, where am I headed? Why am I here? What's the meaning of life? You know, if there is a God, how do I experience it, and how do I know it? And know it in the sense of, like the Gnostics, G-N-O-S, Gnostics know it. In other words, they say you know it when you have an inner experience of it. And anything less than that, you really don't know it. Maybe someone tells you about it, or you read it in a book, or you even read it in a sacred book. That doesn't mean that you know it inwardly in the consciousness sense, where you get it consciously. Akinkar has taught me that wisdom through daily spiritual exercises, that every moment when something happens, like a coincidence or a serendipity, a synchronicity or a dream, or I can see the connection between things, between people, I can see the vibrations, the attachments of love between animals and people. It's everywhere, really. Life is, I think it was Einstein who said, life is either a total miracle or else it's nothing at all. And it's that ability to look around and see the little things and realize that is the daily miracle. And Akinkar has taught me to be in the moment and recognize that and to know what it is. And that's priceless. I wouldn't trade that for anything. It allows me to be who I am as soul, really. And it's interesting because Akinkar says, I don't have a soul. Most people say, hey, I have a soul. Akinkar says, I am soul, and I have a body. In other words, I am soul as a consciousness, as a divine being, and I happen to be inhabiting a body. And there is a difference. It's the way I realize, for me, it's the way I look at the world, because I see myself as, first, I am soul, and I happen to be here in a body. So I need to blend the two somehow. But it's a different perspective and way of looking at things. And Akinkar teaches that everything is pretty much soul. Animals are soul. And I know some people don't see animals as soul, but it really makes a difference, I think, in the way I relate, certainly, and the way we all treat other beings and animals if we see them as soul. So it makes us a little more compassionate, understanding, and loving toward all creatures on the planet.
Wouldn't that help with the seeming to be crisis of bullying that actually has been going on since time immemorial? Because it's just because of social media, I really believe that it's become so much more, you know, pronounced and available, the information of it. But if we saw each creature on this planet as soul, we could never hurt each other the way we are hurting each other. It just could not happen.
Exactly. Exactly. We would be actually seeing things for the way they truly are for the first time. I think it's William Blake who said, you know, when the lens of perception is cleansed, we will see things for the first time the way they truly are. And it allows us to be loving. If we see people as soul, it allows us to be loving to every living creature, to not judge it, and to accept it for what it is, because everything, you know, has a right to its own spiritual freedom to be what it is, and it is up to us to accept that and step into that moment and realize that everything here is soul. Hey, one thing I wanted to share with you too was something that's kind of fun, and because Eckhart, you know, one of the things that it does or teaches every day is spiritual exercises.
I'm just going to ask you about spiritual practices. You are so psychic, Mike Sebastian. So, yes.
I knew you were thinking about it. I could feel it. And, Eckhart calls it contemplation as opposed to meditation. And people go, oh, what's the difference? Well, there's some difference, and it's fine, whatever anyone does. Meditation is, because I used to teach yoga and study with the Sikhs, and meditation is more like clearing your mind and waiting for something to happen, which is a big step to clear the mind and turn the volume down on all that chatter. But the next step is contemplation, where we actively visualize something at the same time. That's the difference between the two. And we call them spiritual exercises, and we have literally hundreds or thousands of them that we do, because we do them every day for 20 to 30 minutes. But the coolest one I always liked, and it's universal with Eckhart, and it's called the Hugh, H-U. It's pronounced like the name Hugh, like Hugh Grant, or H-U-E, like Hugh, like the pastel. And I'll give you a demo. It goes like this. Hugh. All we do is breathe in, and on the out-breath, we say Hugh. And it... what it does is it creates a vibration or a resonance within us that literally puts us in a state of harmony, peace, and really hooks us up with divine love. It takes us to a spot of love. And I use the Hugh every day to clear the chatter out and to become a little more in alignment with love and Holy Spirit and those sort of things. And it really works for me. And the Hugh is ancient. It goes way back. I've traced it back to ancient Egypt and the Sphinx originally. The Sphinx originally was called Hugh, and the ancient Egyptians called it Hugh. And when the Greeks came in and took over, they didn't know what the Sphinx was, so they called it what Hugh was, they called it Sphinx, which means riddle. And but that was 5,000 years ago, and the Egyptians used to gather at the Sphinx and chant Hugh from dusk till dawn. It was like a 12-hour Hugh chant. And it really has to be felt and experienced. It is good for anxiety, insomnia. It's good for depression. It will stop nightmares, I mean dead in their tracks. If you hew for a minute or two before falling asleep and you have trouble with nightmares, it'll put a stop to the nightmares that night. And it comes from the there's a word human, H-U-M-A-N, human, which really refers to the God force within man.
God force within man, because so many times people have, you know, different thoughts about what it means to say human being, or when you talk about God and the connection. And I do want to say that you and I had spoken, obviously, prior to this, because we set the interview up, we set the conversation up. And one of the things that I had done, and I do this with anybody that I'm going to bring on the show, even if I do know them personally, I do what's called research. Yes, interviewers must research, because we don't want to appear to be the experts, but we sure as heck don't want to appear like we don't know anything. And I caught a YouTube presentation of you and your lovely wife, Nicole, on a local television program, and you were hewing with the host.
Yes.
And within, I'm going to say, an hour after watching that, I had experienced some extreme distress in my right arm, causing me literally to be paralyzed, not only by the pain, but I just couldn't even fathom. I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. And something said, you're going to hew your way out of this. And my brain was thinking of, like, hacking and hewing, like clawing my way out. And that was the first thought. And I went, you've got to be kidding me. I'm in too much pain. And then once I went, hew. And I thought, that's what they mean. And I kept doing it. And I couldn't sustain it for very long at first, because the pain was excruciating. And I joke you not, within less than 30 seconds, I started to hew a little longer, and it was probably a minute or two after I had started being able to sustain it. I can't even tell you where the pain was in my arm.
Wow.
It just disappeared. And people may think that I'm crackers for saying that, but if you've never experienced it, you got to listen to what this man says. Don't listen to me. I mean, you can, but my point is, there's a reason why it works. There's a purpose. And it literally, because your body will fix itself if you get your mind to shut up long enough and let it do it and quit telling it can't do it. So with me sitting there in fear and literally, you know, clenching because I was hurting, I was pulling in, I needed to relax. When I relaxed, my body did what it needed to do, and that pain said goodbye. So, yeah, amazing. I was just delighted. I couldn't wait to tell Mike. I said, I got to tell you what happened. I was so excited. I hewed myself through it. I was so happy.
That's a great story, and it's indicative of some of the people I've run into and the stories I've heard involving the hue, and it runs the gamut. I mean, people have called and after sharing the hue with them, and they were suicidal. I mean, had a plan, had a method, had a weapon. I mean, all those things you check out to see if somebody's serious or not. And they called back a week later and said, thank you for sharing the hue, because I feel hope for the first time in my life and I'm no longer suicidal. So it's pretty dramatic. It's the one thing that I've found. You know, everyone looks for a magic bullet on the planet. Who doesn't? A magic cure. Like one thing. Well, generally magic bullets don't exist. They're a process, and it's usually a combo of things. But one of the few magic bullets, one of the only few magic bullets I've found is the hue. And it works whether you believe in God, whether you have a religion or not, or lack thereof, it makes no difference. I've had atheists use the hue, and they go, oh my God, does that work? They use it for anxiety. They've used it for depression. They've used it to change their life and come back and said, hey, that's the only thing that's ever really consistently worked for me. So, and it's so easy, and it's a spiritual exercise, and it's interesting because it's in all of the sacred books, believe it or not, but it's been forgotten. It's in Christianity. It's in Buddhism. Freemasons used it. Judaism, the Kabbalah, the Sikhs, the Sufis, Zoroastrianism. They all refer to the hue in their sacred books and teachings at some point. But Ekinkar is the only religion that I've found in modern day times that uses it consistently, and actually has Hugh chants every Monday night down at the Royal Oak X Center. There's a Hugh chant from 7 to 7:30 where people gather and we all Hugh as a form of contemplation for approximately 30 minutes, and you can really feel, it feels like you can breathe when you finish, and you can feel the shift in consciousness, actually. The shift in consciousness is just amazing when you hew.
You know, I would think it would be kind of fun if people couldn't make it to Royal Oak, Michigan on Monday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, and we'll clarify that, because we are in the Eastern time zone here in Michigan. And to just chill out wherever you are for that half an hour, whether you're in Toronto, Canada, or you're in L.A., or you're in Poughkeepsie, New York, wherever you are, and hew for that half an hour. I would think that would be fun, because you're going to tie in at some level, some way, with that group hew. Don't you think that would be amazing to just have people out every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, but then adjust it for your own time zone, to sit and hew for a half an hour?
Absolutely. And when you hew with a group, it's pretty interesting. It's like, it must be like the ancient Egyptians gathering at the Sphinx. And it's very powerful. You can feel it. It's interesting. I did a talk on dreams in Mexico not that long ago, like 9 months ago. I was down in Guadalajara area and went to a forum, a venue I had never been to before, and they asked me to do a talk on dreams. It was a spiritual forum, non-denominational, not any specific religion. And at the front end, a minute into it, I was getting ready to share the hew with people so they could remember their dreams, because it's a great technique for remembering your dreams. If you hew, your dreams get very vivid and you start remembering them. And so I shared it with a group, and there was 222 people there that day. And we hewed for a minute. I could feel, I had to grab a hold of the podium. I could feel a shift in consciousness. But the people throughout, you could hear people in the group saying, "Oh my God, did you feel that? Oh my God." And it's very powerful when we hew in a group. So yeah, anyone who wants to attend and come down on Monday nights to hew are more than welcome, certainly.
Okay, and you can contact Mike Sebastian about that for directions and anything else you may need, 248-546-9224. And if you'd like to check that out on the World Wide Web, it's www.eck-mi.org, which is ecmichigan.org. We definitely want you to look into that. And Royal Oak, it's you know, Royal Oak's cool because it's accessible from almost anywhere in the downstate, you know, eastern side of the state area, because I have family and friends from Royal Oak. I have fond memories of Royal Oak from back in the 50s and 60s, so it's all good. But I'm excited that there is a way for people to participate, and especially with the hew, because I think it's really cool. So do we need to be members of ECK to do this? And if so, how do we become members, or do we not? And is there like a fee or a membership involved? I mean, tell us about membership in ECK.
Well, you can practice the hew, or you can even practice Ekinkar without being a member. Spirit is available to everyone, and you don't have to be a member. So you can hew every day. If you are interested in becoming a member in Ekinkar, maybe one of the best ways is to go to the website for Michigan, or you can go to a central number, which is easy to remember also if you want to become a member. It's 1-800-LOVE-GOD, 1-800-L-O-V-E-G-O-D, Love God. And someone will talk to you and answer any questions you have. And membership is based on donation. There's a suggested donation of $60 a year, which is like $5 a month for an individual. And that's it. And, you know, what do you get for that? Well, you get discourses every month. In other words, it's a form of study. It goes on for each year in Ekinkar. You study a different discourse, and those discourses are made up of yearly discourses, so there's 12 chapters total. And it's dreams, soul travel, spiritual techniques. It covers a variety of areas, and it gives you a lot of, it gave me a lot of things that I've always wondered about: the meaning of life, why we're here, how to access it, how to become more conscious of life and live in the moment, how to become more spiritual, how to become more loving, how to become more service-oriented, those sort of things. It's brought a lot of happiness and joy into my life. And that's a, you know, and it's very easy to join Eckankar if you're interested. And one of the benefits I found is that I'm around like-minded people. In other words, spiritual seekers. Maybe they've had some spiritual experience. So if you've had a spiritual experience, no matter what it is, I don't care. You've seen a ghost. Maybe you meet your deceased father or mother or relative in your dream states at night. Those are things that people in Eckankar have all had those types of experiences, and they were all seekers, and they are still seekers, which is why they're in Eckankar. And it's taken me a lot further and quicker than any other path that I've ever studied, and it's still consistently expanding for me. So I am very grateful for that. Hey, and I wanted to mention one other thing. There's a seminar coming up also for those who may be interested in spiritual experiences, dreams, soul travel, that sort of thing. This Saturday, there's a seminar called Dreams and Soul Travel being sponsored by Eckankar, and it's over at the MET, M-E-T, which stands for Metropolitan, MET Troy Hotel. It's in Troy, and it's right at the corner of 75 and Crooks. If you're going on 75 North, you get off on Crooks Boulevard. And or Crooks Road, and you'll see right there the MET Hotel. We're going to be doing a workshop all day long. There's different workshops and roundtables and events. You can participate. You can come for 30 minutes, or you can stay all day from 10 a.m. till 7 in the evening. And there's a lot of different workshops on different areas like dreams and soul travel, the healing power of patience and love, how to learn from spiritual success, and subjects like what is life teaching me today, and how to expand on that. So I invite everyone, if you're interested in that, you can go to the website, which Annette has already given, or you can call that number which has been given, and it is free to the public. So there's no charge whatsoever. It's all free, the whole seminar all day long. And there will be free books, literature, and CDs, actually Hue CDs, for free that you can pick up there. So we invite you.
Oh, my gosh. That is really cool. And that date is the 18th of May, 2013. For those that are listening in archives that may be listening in a week or so, it was May 18th, but you can always, always, always contact the fine folks here in Michigan, 248-546-9224. And if you need to make that a toll-free call or care to, it's 866-546-9224. And we've had the pleasure, we still have a few minutes left, but the pleasure so far this hour speaking with Mike Sebastian. He and his wife, Nicole, are the go-to folks for Eckankar here in Michigan, which is a huge state, but, I mean, in so much as we're not the size of a small city, we're the size of a state. Still, this is the most wonderful opportunity. We've got some local people here. There's a great connection with, you know, connecting your life with life itself, which is the message I have gleaned from what Mike Sebastian's been sharing with us about Eckankar for this last hour or so. And one of the things that I like the best, the two things I'll say I like the best, other than Hue. I dig Hue. Hue and I are buddies now. Hue and I are going to hang out a lot. That I think is cool. Is that we are souls. And if we see ourselves as soul, having this body experience, it is going to be so much easier for us to accept and respect life in all of its forms on this planet. And that Eckankar's purpose is to make God an everyday reality in our life. I just think that is so powerful, Mike. I think that is hugely powerful from the standpoint that everybody is seeking something these days. And I don't care who you are. I don't care what decade you're in of your age or what kind of family or socioeconomic status you're in. Everybody is looking for the meaning of life. And I guess from what I've been hearing in this conversation today and what I've studied and read up on and regarding Ekinkar, that sort of is it. That if you get yourself into the study of Ekinkar and the living of its teachings and its principles, you have found the meaning of life. What would you think about that?
Absolutely, Annette. You nailed it, and that's really a good summary of what is Ekinkar. And you know, people all would ask the same question: well, what am I going to get out of it? What am I going to benefit? And it really teaches you to live life and the meaning of life. In other words, you step into, as I got into Ekinkar, I stepped into alignment with Holy Spirit. I began to recognize the miracles of life, and I realized why I was here, where I was going, and more importantly, how to get there. It shared techniques and tools with me that absolutely are stunning. They're like the hue, and the hue has worked for everyone who's ever come across it. And there's many other tools in Ekinkar that are like that. They just keep on they keep on helping me expand my consciousness, so I'm able to be in the moment and be all I can be and enjoy life.
And I really do want to state again that every time I hear those words resonating through my head, I keep thinking about the people that want to exit so badly they're willing to take their own lives. They want to be heard so desperately they're willing to take life. They don't see any reason for why they should even seek happiness. It really does not have to be that way. It really doesn't have to be that you feel so alone or so misunderstood, even within yourself. You know, you can be alone in a room of people, or you can be alone because there are no people. I think one of the saddest things is to be alone in a room of people. And yet, you can still enjoy the aloneness without it being detrimental. And that also seemed to be something that I picked up through this entire conversation about Ekinkar, is that you're not ever really alone, but there are going to be times when that aloneness allows you to become contemplative, become reflective, download more information, expand your inner self. Because if you're busy doing your own thing, what did somebody used to say? If you're busy minding your own business, you ain't got time to mind nobody else's.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I would be a kinder society if we did that.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that what we were born to be, though? We were born to be that love. We weren't born to be this ultra-competitive, you know, watch out for you. You know, you've got a knife out for my back, and I've got to be careful. We were not born to be that. That is not who we are.
No, that's very true. And we were born, as soul, we're really born to be love and to be of service to other souls. And simply that kind of summarizes the whole thing. So, you know, we can be alone, but that doesn't mean we need to be lonely. And we're always part of the cosmic plan. And we can feel that love as we begin to expand. We feel that all around us. And that's why we're not lonely. Even though we might be alone, we feel that. It feels like a comforter, like a blanket of love wrapped around us. And that's priceless.
Absolutely. And priceless the time that people so generously give to spend an hour with me here on the radio, such as Mike Sebastian has just done. Ekinkar has been our topic. That is Ekankar. For those who might not understand what we're speaking about in regards to the name, the word of Ekinkar. And the word of Ekinkar can be obtained by going to www.ekankar.org. You can contact Mike and the fine people at the Royal Oak, Michigan location by calling 248-546-9224. They have a fabulous event coming up on May 18th, 2013. Free, 10 a.m. until 7 p.m. at the Met Hotel off I-75 and Crooks Road. It's free. Come and learn. Come and meet people. Come and share the experience. Get some materials. Get some energy under your belt and go back out into the world and utilize it. Thank you, Mike, so much for sharing your thoughts and perspective on Ekinkar today, and appreciate your time.
Thank you, Annette. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We are so glad you joined us today here on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio.